Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Norske Skog Q3 investor presentation. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Jarle Lundfjord. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to everybody. I am Jarle Lundfjord, in charge of investor relations in Norske Skog. We will start this conference call by a brief or short introduction by our CEO, after which we open up for a Q&A session. And with this, Sven, the word is yours.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to everyone. I will introduce the call with a few short comments about the third quarter, and we will open up for Q&A after that. With me here in Oslo this afternoon, I have Audun Rønneid, CFO, and Jan Klausen, head of our commercial operations, who are also here and prepared to answer any questions you may have. Our Q3 for this year is still quite weak, in line with what we have indicated throughout the year, where European price levels more or less have been set for the full year, and where we have operated at relatively high capacity utilization throughout the year. The cost inflation in our variable costs, mainly caused by recovered paper and market pulp, has a significant impact on the third quarter. So you could say that although the EBITDA for the three quarters is more or less identical, adjusted for the one-off provision reversal at Boyer in Australia, you could say that the figures are practically the same for the three quarters. However, underlying, there is a small improvement with somewhat higher prices in Europe, particularly on magazine paper, and also in Australia. And similarly, we have another benefit of our fixed cost reduction programs. Offsetting this, as I said, increase in variable costs because of increased prices on raw materials, and also some adverse currency effects. So, we still have a weak quarter. Despite this, we have been able to reduce our net interest-bearing debt by 1.3 billion, which is one of our key focus areas, mainly caused by the previously discussed sale of excess power in Norway, just short of 800 million. And then, the remaining 500 million is partly currency and partly EBITDA and cash flow, net cash flow from operations. About half is attributable to those two factors, about 150 million each in the quarter. There is a significant improvement in the free cash flow, caused primarily by the fact that the interest payments are paid to a large extent in the first quarter, particularly, and so in the first half, particularly in the second quarter. So while there is a somewhat higher degree of interest payments in the fourth quarter, we still expect that the year as a whole and the fourth quarter will have positive cash flow. But we do not guide at a significantly better fourth quarter, as we know the price levels, we know now roughly the variable cost impact, and also we're running at high capacity utilization, so there should be relatively a few volume surprises also. I guess that is my short introduction, and we can open up for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone line is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star one if you would like to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, our first question for today is from Oskar Lindström, from Erik Penser Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Sorry, I came in a little bit late in the conference, so perhaps you mentioned this, but could you perhaps just give a little bit the main drivers behind the large improvement in the non-European newsprint business results compared to the previous quarter?
Yes. There are two main effects here. One is a one-off, which is a provision reversal at Boyer in Australia, which is 108 million. Despite this, you are right that there is also an underlying improvement in the newsprint outside Europe segment, which is attributable to price increases in Australasia from the 1st of July with the new long-term contracts. Also, there is a small volume effect from the fact that our Chilean plant at BioBio is now running for the full quarter, while previously this year and also into the second quarter, we still had interruptions following the earthquake in Chile. For the rest of this segment, there are no main differences.
Sorry, and the price increase in Australia in local currency, how much was that?
The contract prices, as we have guided in the past, were increased by about 2%.
Okay. And are we to expect any further adjustments in that going into the fourth quarter?
No, these prices are also annual, so the next possible adjustment is mid-2011.
Okay, wonderful. And you had a relatively low, I thought, Q3 CapEx level. What's your target for the full year and perhaps also looking to 2011 as well?
Yes. The guidance on CapEx is 500 million NOK for the full year. And this is also the guidance for 2011. Out of this, two-thirds to 70% is maintenance-related CapEx. The rest is productivity improvement programs. This year we have had two main projects in this respect, and that we also expect for next year. You are right that the quarterly CapEx is somewhat lower than what an average quarter would be, at 125 versus just north of 80 million this time. So it's a bit lower, but it's not a trend line per se.
All right. And finally, coming back to the outlook for the European newsprint business, I think you mentioned that you expected a sort of positive volume effect in Q4, presumably as a result of sort of pre-buying in anticipation of sort of higher prices next year. Do you have any feeling for the quantify that sort of...
I think what we're saying is that if we think that there is a seasonal demand increase in Europe in the fourth quarter, both for magazine and to a certain extent for newsprint, our own figures will not be materially different, as we have been running at full capacity for the full third quarter. And yes, there may be some interest to increase the inventory levels because of an expected price increase from next year on. However, I think ourselves and probably most of the industry will have problems to deliver more than the committed quantities in the case of a top-up interest. So I think there is a... I think the volume effect will be marginal, if any, in our books.
Do you think there's been any sort of effect of that, trying to build up inventory ahead of the end of the year, already in the Q3?
I'll let Jan Klaassen give his views on...
Thank you. I would just say there's probably already some rebuilding of stock levels, because last year, of course, the demand development indicator is not only consumption, but also stock down building. And this year, of course, we see an opposite effect as customers realize that this price level is not sustainable. So I would think that it also had a certain effect in Q3 already.
Right. And finally, sorry for so many questions here and taking up so much time, outlook for newsprint prices next year, do you have any light to shed on that?
Yeah, what we have said is that when it comes to pricing and the commercial structure, first of all, it's a key point for us to go to quarterly contracts. We have seen a high degree of volatility and short-term volatility in all our input costs. We believe it would be better for our customers and ourselves to avoid the relatively large price swings that annual contracts indicate. So that is a key goal for us going into the discussions now. When it comes to the price levels, it's clear, as Jan Klaassen said, that this year's levels are unsustainably low. No one really makes any EBITDA margins at these levels. And we would need to increase them. What we have also said is that the 15-year average is about 550 euros delivered into Germany. And this is with raw material costs, which are at lower levels than what we see today. So I think our primary target is to reach a level where we can indeed enjoy a sustainable EBITDA margin and that the prices is more dynamically fixed. So this would mean that from today's level we would need to see quite an important improvement in prices for next year.
Have you started any negotiations yet with your clients on prices for next year?
We certainly have indicated what we want to do in terms of both structure and levels. And I guess since we're now in the fourth quarter and these are deliveries from the first quarter on, it's natural that we have started discussions. But it's also fair to say that we have not really concluded with any significant volumes for next year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Those were my questions.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Our next question for today is from Linus Larsson from SEB and Skilda. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Then continuing on the previous questions, have you concluded any volumes in your European newsprint price negotiations?
Well, first of all, I should say that This is not necessarily a binary discussion, partly because some of the contracts that we already have, and I'm sure that other industry participants also have those, some of them have volumes which go longer than a year, some of them go a little bit from other parts, start at other parts of the year than the 1st of January. So it's never a sort of 100% black and white picture. But we have, of course, with certain customers, we have a very good understanding both of what the levels need to be and what the volumes should be. And I think it's important to mention that these contracts are, to a large extent, understanding between customers and suppliers on both in terms of the volumes and in terms of price levels. So I think it would be wrong to sit there and say that we have done nothing so far of a firm nature, but it would equally be wrong to give the impression that we have contracted large volumes, because that is still too early to have done that. I'm not sure, Jan, if you would add something to that.
No, I think that is exactly what's the situation today. Just a short additional comment on the magazine side. As this market has actually been more used to the quarterly pricing, the negotiations for Q1 also have taken more shape and are closer to conclusion or already concluded in some areas.
Okay, and would you like to shed some light on how they have succeeded or not succeeded?
Well, this is always the nice way of... I have to say that we wouldn't have concluded if we wouldn't have succeeded.
Right. Okay. Would you like to comment on the magnitude? Would it be something similar to recent price changes, or is there a more significant change?
I think what we could say is that we also look at the levels or the differences between the different grades. In other words, we've seen quite some substitution between SC and LWC, both last year from LWC to SC, this year a little bit back again. So we recognize that there needs to be a certain relationship between SC and LWC, and there's also a relationship between newsprint and magazine grades, and probably also from the magazine grades to higher quality papers and fine papers. But there is a a relationship to be kept, and we regard sort of newsprint as the bottom plank for the whole paper industry. So I think that is it's a key point to get that right and to get to the right levels in the not too distant future. And I think then we need to have certain relationships between SC and LWC. So it's probably fair to answer your question, saying that it's more significant than sort of just a small adjustment.
Okay, that's great. And may I also come back to the statement that, if I understand you right, you say in the report that you want to take an active role in consolidation in this industry, and firstly, is there any progress in that respect? And secondly, would you be open or would you consider making a rights issue in that context?
I think this statement, and you're absolutely right, that this is a continuation of statements we have made for some time. And since there has been no announcement, nothing has happened in terms of corporate actions on this aspect. But of course, we continue to reduce our net debt. We continue to improve our position. We continue to work with our commercial policy in order to be able to be an active participant. And we would also be quite proactive and flexible in terms of what we need to do in order to achieve the targets of a more consolidated industry and an industry which can be more flexible and dynamic to adapt supplying capacity to the demand swings. So I think to the extent that we need to do almost whatever to achieve that, I think we're very flexible and open-minded. And then I'm also convinced that this industry will look different in the not-too-distant future. But of course, this question comes back and will probably come back for some time, as no announcement has been made so far.
And then just finally, partly relating to that discussion, you have not been closing capacity over the last year, and you've been exploring M&A or consolidation alternatives. Rather, if, let's say, beyond these price negotiations which are taking place, is there a time during next year when you, if you have not successfully pursued a consolidation solution, that you will revert to closing your own capacity?
I think when it comes to capacity closures on newsprint, it's a bit more than a year since we did it, so you are right that nothing has happened during the last 12 months from date. And but one important thing is that we have converted Parenco out of standard newsprint, which means that for next year, in all likelihood, we will sell more magazine paper than newsprint in the present configuration. And which leaves us with Golbey and Skogn as our newsprint producers, which are both size-wise, age-wise, and equipment-wise relatively competitive facilities. So I think that's important to keep in mind. Having said all that, if there should be reasons to do something, we are also pragmatic in this respect, but I would imagine that these things have to be seen in context of some corporate activity. Otherwise, I think it makes relatively little sense. And then also reminding ourselves that, of course, there is an overcapacity in newsprint, but there's also an overcapacity in some of the magazine grades. And I think we have seen more net closures announced in newsprint than magazine. So I'm also looking, we're also looking at that in the global picture.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next question will be from Duncan Lake from RBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi there, guys. Just a couple of questions for me. Just sticking with regard to, you know, any potential sort of consolidation in industry, I'm just trying to get a sense that if, let's say this happened, I don't know, announced next month, shall we say, how long, in your view, you know, in this kind of thing, it's quite a big operation, how long would it take to actually implement, you know, between a few players such a strategy? You got competition, commission approval, etc. How quick would that happen, do you think?
Yeah, I think doing a possible transaction will take some time. You're pointing at competition clearance, for instance, which is will, in my opinion, take probably about half a year as itself, and then you have all the processes. So I think it will indeed take time to actually close any possible transaction. Having said that, I think you could also have effects of this from announcement today. So I think there is every reason to believe that that the announcement will impact commercially, and then the implementation will take longer. And I think also following on to that, if there should be capacity closures coming out of a consolidation, that of course also takes a little bit time from an announcement.
Okay, and then just with regard to your revolver, just any update there? I know you've got some non-core asset sales still to make, and is there any kind of talks going on with the banks there? Are they, you know, any update on what they're looking for? Because clearly, you know, looking to early 2012. Any more to say on that?
I will ask Captain Rønneid, our CFO, to give a few comments to that.
Yeah. Just the first comment, we are continuing to sell assets to free up more cash. And as you probably have seen, we have 4.5 billion now in cash after the sale of the surplus energy. And we are also looking for selling more assets to free up even more liquidity, to be better positioned. So the refinancing, you know, the maturity is first quarter 2012. So we will start and continue such discussions in due time, but we are focusing now very much on freeing up more liquidity through sale of assets.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question for today will be from Nitin Diaz from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Most of my questions are clarifications because the line wasn't very clear. Did you say that the prices in Australia went up 2% in June of this year, June, July of this year?
Yeah, from the 1st of July, the new contracts allowed for a price improvement of 2%, yes.
Understood. The second one was when you said CapEx was 500 million for this year and next year, did you give us a split of what the split would be between maintenance, CapEx, and productivity improvement programs?
Yes, the maintenance part is roughly 70%. The rest is productivity improvements.
Understood. The third one was you referred this having concluded some contracts in Q1, and again this wasn't clear on the phone. Did you say that those contracts are for newsprint or for magazine?
That's magazine.
Okay. That's helpful. And the final question was on your statement that you made in your the press release and also in the media call. You said that you're trying to prepare yourself to get ready to be a part of consolidation. Now you've talked about reducing debt as a part of that. Is there anything else that we need to be aware of in that context, i.e., which would mean capacity closures or anything else in that direction?
Well, there's no concrete, neither capacity closures or any other announcements, but it's clear that we reiterate our view that there is a needed consolidation coming. We will, as you mentioned, work with the reduction of the net interest-bearing debt and improve our cost positions to the extent that that is possible. And then we will, let's say, evaluate all possibilities to ensure a more dynamic and consolidated industry. But there is no concrete items in terms of capacity closures or corporate activities.
That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
From company SHB, Kari Rinta has our next question. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Kari Rinta from Handelsbanken. Two clarifications. Firstly, the net debt reduction in the third quarter, how much of that roughly came from currency changes, i.e. from weaker dollar? And then can you remind us of the divestments that you have in the pipeline and what would you expect roughly to receive in proceeds from those and whether we should see those in 2010 or in early part of next year. Thanks.
Yes, when it comes to the reduction, the currency part of the 1.3 is roughly 250 million NOK, then 250 million roughly is from operations, the rest from the surplus power sale. When it comes to the non-core asset divestments, we have still a few properties in Norway that we're working on, and the forest in Brazil, and there are some other minor items in addition. We still work towards closure in 2010, but of course as we are approaching the year end now, it could be that some of them are slipping into 2011. One reason for this, for being a bit more cautious on the timing now, is that there is a change in the Brazilian Land Ownership Act, which could delay the sale of the forests somewhat, as most of the interested parties to these assets are non-Brazilians. So while there is no other, neither negative or positive news on this, they're still progressing according to plan. It could be that that the closing of these transactions will take a little bit more time than we have then envisaged. Norwegian real estate is going according to plan. So we have in the past we have indicated a wide range of what is next here, 200 to 700 million, and the main uncertainty here is the Brazilian forests, and it is also the largest possible potential. So in that respect, it's according to plan, but maybe it will slip into 2011.
Okay, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question is from André Rouchira. Please go ahead.
No, thank you. My question was answered. Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, please press star 1 if you would like to ask your question. We have a next question from David Sejira from Hawkstone Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Just an additional clarification maybe on the debt reduction, which is quite impressive. So we understand that half of that reduction comes from cash flow generation and half from the dollar effect. So regarding the cash flow generation, would you deem this improvement as sustainable? Because from an EV perspective, assuming the EV is stable, 1.3 billion reduction in your debt represents about seven NOK per share of equity value. So, we understand that half of it is pure currency effect, but I'm wondering how sustainable, once again, the other half is from one quarter to the next.
Let us clarify the 1.3 billion reduction, 800 million of that is related to the surplus power sales. Then the remaining 500 million, half of those, are from cash generation, in other words, around 250 million NOK. So, and this is it's slightly higher than, or clearly higher than the last two quarters of this year, and partly influenced by the fact that we have no or relatively modest interest payments in the third quarter. So there is an influence of that. Having said that, of course, the sustainability of the cash flow is a question of pricing for 2011 and raw material costs. So I would expect cash flow still to be positive in the fourth quarter, but somewhat less from the operations and from financing items in quarter four, while it clearly will be higher into the next year if we are anywhere near successful with the pricing policies that we have discussed earlier on the call.
Okay. And also I'd like to come back to utilization rates, which crept up to 90%.
Yep.
Do you feel that it's helping you when it comes to negotiating the annual or quarterly contracts? I mean, at which level
do you feel you get real pricing power in terms of, you know, your negotiation or when it comes to utilization rate?
I think historically there has been talk about sort of 90, 92%. Some people say 93, others say 91, so it's in this range somewhere. But the 90% now is a clear indication that we are running at full speed and selling the tons we have. So the answer is clearly yes, this is helping us, since this is a reflection that the industry has no market downtime. This is, of course, primarily driven by the fact that the overseas markets are good, so North American and European exports to these areas have improved, and barring sort of a massive change in that, I think this is very helpful for 2011.
Do you disclose the the utilization rate ex Australia?
Yeah, the utilization rates, they are into our reports, and they are very much the same everywhere where we are. If I remember correctly, it is close to mine. Actually, I do have it here, if we can spend 10 more seconds. Newsprint Europe in Q3 isolated was 88%, in Newsprint outside Europe 91%, and Magazine Paper 91%, which is in general 90% approximately.
Oh, very good, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone line is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Our next question would be from Tom Jandahl from Carnegie. Please go ahead.
Hello, I just touched base on the covenant of net tangible assets of minimum 9 billion. It's at 9.8 billion in this quarter. And given the high depreciation you have, and also the value of the energy is very volatile between the quarters, how do you consider the risk for a covenant breach, and how would you? What do you think is a likely reaction to that?
Yeah, you're right that the equity now for the covenant is 9.8 by the end of the quarter, and the minimum level is 9.0, and of course we are aware of that, and this is something that we will address. We are not that particularly concerned now in the first quarter, but this is something we are looking into, and we will also start the refinancing the discussion in due time to before we have the risk of this covenant issue.
As we have no further questions at this time, I would like to hand the call back over to you, gentlemen, for additional or closing remarks.
Okay, I would just like to thank everyone for their interest and questions, and hopefully we were able to clarify some issues. We have guided on a relative stability into the fourth quarter, and then some market improvements into 2011, although combined with still a high variable cost pressure. On that note, I guess we thank everyone and close the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.